Welcome to Transformers, the podcast about how business people and policymakers are creating a sustainable future. I'm your host, Kai Embren.
1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Oh, 1, 2, 3, come dance with me.
Today, I'm excited to have Niklas Nordström, former mayor of Luleå, from Sweden's Arctic region, as my guest. Niklas have deep roots in Luleå. Interestingly, his heritage connect him to Seattle, the home of the iconic Nordström brand. As mayor from 2014 to 2019, Niklas championed the impressive green transformation in Luleå, attracting over $100 billion in investments to the region. Under his leadership, Luleå saw groundbreaking projects in green steel, hydropower, wind energy, sustainable fertilizers, and renewable-powered Facebook's data center, all driving jobs and sustainable development. With an annual municipality budget of just $600 million, these achievements show how powerful Niklas' vision was in setting Luleå on a greener, more prosperous path. So let us dive into this incredible journey. Niklas, welcome.
Thank you very much.
You were the mayor in the city of Luleå between 2014 and 2019 and played a key role in developing Facebook's data center to the city, leveraging the surplus hydroelectric capacity. How much revenue does the city generate from this deal?
Well, you can say it. There has been several different studies made from both government authorities and other consultancy firms concerning it. There are different fluctuations of jobs created and so on. But even if it's true in one sense that it's not that many working at the data centers itself, it has created a lot of jobs in the area around the data centers, because you have a lot of undercontractors working for them in variety of fields of disciplines, electricians, hospitality. You have many other consultants and technicians that are involved in a data center, security, high level of maintenance and so on. So there are different numbers of how many jobs that are created, but definitely you have more than 1,000 on an annual basis, long lasting jobs. I say that the most important thing, as it often is, when I started in City Hall in Luleå 2014, Facebook had established with the first data center. We tried to grow from there and use that as a leverage to attract other investments. And it gave us a lot of opportunities to reach out to international companies and national companies based in our capital, Stockholm, that would never have come to Luleå if it wouldn't have been for the investment of Facebook. As a huge international company with global recognition, when they said that Luleå is our place to go, that opened up many doors for us.
Do you have any figures of how big investment was it in 2018 when the developing started again with the Facebook?
We're talking about several billions invested, and depending on how you count it with the construction of the facility and all the technology in it, we're talking huge numbers. Many years we were in the top of Sweden when it came to investments because of the data center. So it contains both the huge building in itself, but also then it's filled with advanced technology. So it we're talking about big numbers here.
Mm-hmm. Let us broaden up this discussion. And it was several companies have followed Facebook in establishing data center in Luleå due to its renewable hydroelectric power and cold climate. Google has explored the area for potential developments, and while Amazon Web Service built data centers in other Swedish locations, in like Eskilstuna, all reliant on renewable energy. Do you believe that Sweden has enough hydro and other energy capacity to meet some of this AI energy demands or green steel development battery capacity and blockchain's development?
I think that we are in an era where we need to produce more electricity. And I think that what we see now from energy companies and national and local governments is an awareness of that we need both wind and nuclear to be able to provide the Swedish society with more electricity. As you say, I think we underestimate how much electricity AI will need. The whole new economy is based on data and processing data. So I think that is definitely more to be done there. And you then have the whole transition of the transport sector moving from fossil to electricity. It will take huge demands of more electricity also. If you look upon Stockholm has made a kind of a goal that you would move into being the inner parts of the city will be pure electric. I don't remember if it's 2030 or something like that. The electricity needed to charge those cars that will be in the city is half of a nuclear reactor. I mean, it's huge. You need a lot of electricity. The surplus that has been up in the north is no longer a surplus with all the industries that are moving into the region and changing from fossil-based energy to clean electricity. So the need for more production of electricity is obvious.
You mentioned nuclear and you mentioned also solar. You see the challenges here. Some people say that the cost of developing the nuclear is so high and solar can compete much more. What's your view of that?
Well, I think it's, as it often is, extremely complicated. An electric system needs components of different kinds of sources, and you need to have a base load of electricity, and nuclear is that. If it's not nuclear, then it's coal or it's natural gas, and we don't like to move into that. So I think nuclear will be crucial as the base, and then we have in Sweden an enormous resource with hydro. I mean, the river up in Norrbotten, Luleå River, it produces around 15% of today's consumption of electricity. So it's extremely important with the big rivers in the north. And they are also then the regulator. So when you put them on top of that, so sun and wind, that can work together. But the Swedish decisions have been extremely short-sighted. So some years ago, we had downsizing nuclear and shutting down reactors, and that has come with a huge cost now when we see that we need more electricity. So I think that for the politicians of today, it's very important to stay calm and think long-term how to create a long-last system of electricity that produces the electricity we need and with low CO2 emissions.
Now let's go 7-8. Don't hesitate, just sing what you want.
The region of Luleå, Norrbotten, which is a part of the Arctic, working towards renewable energy sources, aiming to reduce the carbon emission and increase energy efficiency. It's a strong focus on hydropower, wind energy and bioenergy, leveraging its natural resources. The Nordics have the potential to be the Silicon Valley of sustainability, was some comments in the Financial Times months ago. And I could also see that the northern Sweden last year generated 76 terawatt hours of electricity from its hydropower and wind farms, but only consumed 33 terawatt. That surplus of 43 terawatt is equivalent to more than the annual electricity consumption of countries such as Hungary, Denmark, or Ireland. Can you give a little bit more insight of the Luleå municipality and the region Norrbotten capacity building for sustainable development?
As you say, it's important to explain that, what a resource the North is for the rest of the country and also for Europe. I mean, you have enormous natural resources in the North. Energy is one of them. As I said, the river of Luleå, only that one gives 15% of the electricity to Sweden. It's enormous. And it has created wealth for the Swedish industries also in the south, decades, so on. So I think you can't say too much of the importance there when it comes to energy. When it comes to the new wind farms are built up in the north, since you have then less conflicts with the communities, since the nature is so big here. What happens then is that you still have to transport electricity down to the south. And that is why many of the industries are changing the logic and want to establish in the north, because then you are close to the production of electricity and also can produce hydrogen that you can use in production with that. Many of the crucial minerals that Europe needs, we have taken a strategy at European level, talking about raw materials. Those you have in the northern parts of Sweden also, especially in Norrbotten County, but also in the north overall. Over 90% of the European Union's iron ore production comes from the north of Sweden. It's enormous resources that we create for Europe. But you have other minerals, you have crucial minerals, rare earth minerals, and I think those will be extremely important also in a security policy way to strengthen the European self-sufficiency when it comes to minerals, not only having to import them from China and other countries that might not be so environmentally friendly and human friendly.
I've been longing for years for laughter or tears, 'cause I never felt a thing.
Can you give any views of the green steel development under this time where you were mayor?
Well, it started when I was mayor with the large project together with the iron ore company LKAB, the steel plant SSAB, and the hydropower company Vattenfall. Those three formed a mutual project called Hybrid. And that is moving on, continuing in steel plant in Luleå, moves from coal to electricity, and that happens. So you could say that those three companies formed a project together. And then you have a new player coming in that has started investment in the municipality of Boden. Stegra is the name of that company. They are starting from zero and building up a steel plant. There are initiatives in this area, and you also have companies coming in that will, like Green Iron, that will handle waste from the mines and from industries and recycle it. So you have also in the waste from the mines, you find a lot of minerals that you can use if you recycle it and process it again. So there are new players coming in that have new technologies and to squeeze out even more from the already started industries.
You mentioned the role of nature, and forest and wood is a particular area. What is the development of new buildings with wood?
Yeah, there has been a movement towards using more wood in constructions, and there are several companies that have stable family-owned companies, both in produce small houses, villas, but also buildings like apartment buildings with several floors. They can be quite high today, those wood constructions. So there are a lot of climate-friendly companies in the forest area, and you also have a lot of spin-offs from the traditional forest industry that develop fuel, that develop other chemicals out of the cellulose from the forest. So the forest is an extremely important part of the north, and you have high quality of the trees, since they grow so much slower in the north than in the south. So the the quality of the timber is very good up in the north.
So let's go one, two, three, and rapidly start spinning out.
To create such an infrastructure for a region or for a municipality, you need skilled people. How is it with the educational opportunities in Luleå and the region of Norrbotten?
University in Luleå, you have one university in Umeå. Those together have formed an alliance with universities in northern Finland and Norway. They call themselves the Arctic Five. So one university in Norway, two in Finland, and two in Sweden, they have formed a cluster together. That kinds of collaboration, they are extremely important. The north is less populated in all those countries. So to form those alliances is very crucial. Extremely important for all the companies up in the north that they can have well-educated people being able to recruit them to different positions in the companies. But you have an enormous challenge of lack of people. You can have a very good life in the north. The salaries are often quite good. The cost of living is much lower than in larger cities in the south. But still, you have a hard competition of having people to move to the north. And you really need a lot of expertise in many areas, since you have large portions of retirements and so on.
Incoming people from other parts of the world, has it changed anything?
It changed enormously. Today you have so many nationalities in all over the north of Sweden. It's a combination of both immigrants in the form of refugees that have come from Syria and other countries of conflicts, but also you have immigrants that are on a work permit, so they are actually recruited by the companies because they have a certain expertise that the companies need and so on. Last 20 years in the north has been a huge change in that sense.
Well, if you look into one of the challenges, and when we see this development and use of nature, natural resources, you have challenges with the tradition of indigenous people's rights. How do you see this conflict and where do you see the solutions?
And I think that it's a big mistake if you try to regulate this on a national or even a European level. That won't work out. You need to let the people in the local community sort it out together, because everything is connected. So if you are going to be an attractive region, you need to do compromises between all the interests of conflict. I myself come from the part of the north where the forest was the resource. So I think that the compromises and the collaborations, they need to be done at the local level so that you can find a way to move forward, so that really benefits all interests and citizens. And I think it's very hard what's now going on in Sweden. I think this will create more problems than it solves. It's not easy to stand on a distance and point and say to people how to do it. You need to find local solutions.
As a mayor with experience to lead such a development and involving innovation and new strategies, maybe we should tell the listener also that Swedish municipalities have unique power, independency, which is regulated by the Swedish law. You need a strong budget, but also strong relationship to the financial sector. How did this work out for Luleå?
We're the fifth strongest economy among all the municipalities and cities in Sweden. We had a good economy. I think that comes a lot from that you have a important mix of those big industries, the university, jobs in the defense sector, created a base that then the rest of society can build on: restaurants, hotels, under constructors, construction companies, and everything could work together in a good way. But we worked a lot with attracting all the time new investments, new jobs, and tried to be innovative. And we did something that none had done before us, that we sold part of the city-owned housing company. And with that, we could attract national capital that came and invested in housing and in other buildings in the city. And that created a wave of real estate investors coming into the city. And that helped us a lot. So I think if you are active of using the tools that you have in the toolbox as a city, then you can create a sustainable growth and you can keep on track of having a good economy. Over the years, when I was active in as mayor and politician in City Hall, we had very good numbers when it came to the trust from the local business community. We had support from the business community, both the big ones, but also the small ones, family-owned companies and so on. Because if you have that, then you can have a steady growth.
Do you see any involvement of the pension funds investment in the region?
Yeah, the pension funds were backing those real estate investors that came in. You had a lot of pension capital backing them.
You as a mayor, then you have the budget to work on. And if you not have the budget to be enough to invest, but it has creates some sources outside your municipality budget. Do you see any relationship how much money has been invested in the time that you were mayor from other type of capital and the budget?
One of the very good examples is that in a city like Luleå, sports is extremely important, and we have good traditions in basketball and ice hockey, for example. There was a gentleman that had made a fortune from selling his company. He comes from the city, doesn't live in Luleå any longer, lives in Stockholm. And he was one of the founders and brains behind Minecraft. One day he called me and said, I will be in the city in a few days. Do you have time to have dinner? And so I said, yeah, sounds interesting. I have time. And then he came with a suggestion that since he was a very, very interested in ice hockey and a huge supporter of the local ice hockey team, he came with a proposal on how to improve the hockey arena. So then the city invested a little more than around $1 million, and he invested 3 million from his side. So one crown from the city attracted three from him. So we took care of what we had responsibility for, as we were the owner of the hockey arena, and he invested then in the technology. So the arena in Luleå took a huge lap when it comes to being in a hockey arena with digital tools that created a totally another experience of the arena with light effects and sound effects and so on. So that was a very good example of how we could on this positive wave that we had of that it was a forward leaning city. Then people like him came up and said, yeah, I have an idea. This is what I would like to do. And that has, of course, benefited the local hockey club a lot. So they have extremely good numbers when it comes to filling the arena with spectators.
It means that to innovate this type of development, and you get more stakeholders into the discussion of pragmatic solution for investment and develop different areas, it's also put a little bit of a pressure of your organization with your civil servants. Are they prepared to meet all these type of changes and take responsibility? You are a politician, and then you have the civil servants. And and did you get that understanding to do all these changes that you promoted?
Good point. I think it often worked out very well. I think I had great people working at City Hall and in the different departments of the municipality. But it's important that you are very clear as a politician on the direction. You need to be very steady in that. Also be very clear on the expectations, because you need to challenge the bureaucracy also with making clear what the goals are. This is what we want to achieve and so on, so that you can get results. So I think that it's easy to believe that when you have taken a decision in the city council, then everything is done and so on. But it's seldom that. You need to be very active as a mayor to follow up, make sure that everybody is on board, understands what we're doing, why we're doing it, and so on.
But you as a mayor built also international relationships to make Luleå more visible, for example, in the US. And can you give some examples of international relationship that as a mayor has been important for Luleå?
If you want to have things done, you need to reach out to the capital, Stockholm. We worked a lot there to have decision makers, both in government, parliament, and also private industries, private companies, understanding what was happening. Can give you several examples of people that didn't had an idea to invest or create jobs in Luleå, but then did it because we were very active and giving them a positive view of what was happening. We worked a lot with the European Union and Brussels. Without that, we wouldn't have had the huge support for the dredging project of the harbor. The harbor port in Luleå is being built out and you are dredging so you can get larger ships coming in. We invested a lot of time in with the European Union, so they said very clearly that, yes, this is an important European project, so we will fund it partly with European money. And with that, then, that put the pressure on the national government, so they had to say yes to the project. So that project wouldn't have been able, and I mean, it's happening now, but it wouldn't have been happening if we wouldn't have been successful with the European Union. And then we also worked with partners in the USA. We signed a formal agreement with Austin in Texas, which is an extremely interesting, rapid growing city. We work with the Swedish community in Seattle. There's a big Swedish community there. They helped us out a lot, so we raised a lot of interest from there. We're in San Francisco and had meetings there and so on. So, and also I have since before many contacts in Washington and New York and Chicago and so on. So we used many of those contacts and had the good support. The Swedish ambassador for US moved back to Sweden. He then became the Arctic ambassador. So then we could continue this collaboration with him. And that was also a very good example of how important it is that you reach out and build relation with people.
Maybe we could add the story of your relationship to US, and we look into Seattle and we name Nordstrom.
Yeah.
What's that?
Yeah, I still have contact with the family in Seattle. So they are distant relatives. My great grandfather Eric Nordstrom, his cousin Johan Nordstrom, he went over to USA, and after some struggles as it was, he was able to start a shoe store. That then were the start for what is today the Nordstrom department stores that are established all over the US. Amazing story of how a Swedish immigrant has created a huge success in America. So they are the fourth generation now running the company. So the management leadership of the company, they are brothers and cousins. Yeah. Hmm.
You left Luleå with a bleeding heart. Is it anything you regret from the time as a mayor in Luleå?
Well, it's always hard when you are in politics, you need to take a lot of tough decisions. All of them won't be popular, and that was the case. So unfortunately, it came a lot of hate and slur and threats and so on, and that really took a toll on me. It was a very tough being a politician when you are in change and you need to take those decisions that has to be done. But I wouldn't say that you can always say that when you look back and you have the result today, then you say, yeah, I wouldn't have done it. I would have done something else. But it's not fair to say that, because every time when you take a decision as a politician, you do it with what you then have. For what information do you have? What knowledge do you have? What experience do you have? And then you try to make a decision based on that and try to make it so that it can be the best for the society as a whole. And I think the crucial part of being a politician is to be strong and be aware of that everything you do is not popular. There will be people that don't like it, but you still have to do those things because in the long term they are important. So I think there are many lessons to be learned, but it's not fair to say that why didn't you know that and why didn't you do this and so on? Because I often said to people when they came to me and they had a clear view, I said, yeah, I understand that you have this view, but I can point to 10 others and they have 10 other views on this topic. So my role together with the rest of the politicians is to create a mutual common ground to stand on. All won't be happy, but we need to move forward. So. Mm-hmm.
I think that you still have some relation with Luleå or the region.
Absolutely.
Even if you left some mayor, and the lesson learned have put really Luleå on the map internationally. Yeah. Thank you, Niklas. One, two,
thank you.
1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1. I'm Kai Embren. Follow me on Twitter and LinkedIn, where I will be announcing the future guests to this podcast. And you can expect about 2 programs a month. And each guest has a unique story of making business and society sustainable. So find out more. Visit my homepage, kaiembren.org. Thank you for listening.